I don't know how they could find out Superman's secret identity. Feed him Taco Bell. The toilet that explodes, that's Superman.
I thought you were going to say the feed a bunch of people Taco Bell, and whoever doesn't poop is Superman.
It could go either way. Could just...
Yeah, either he'll poop or he'll make the toilet explode.
So that's how we discover the secret identity of the Man of Steel, who has the steel shits.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Movie Madness, where I am totally fighting a cold and will be surviving on cough drops this entire show.
As you broadcast from the center of the Earth.
And yeah, we're having sound quality issues as well, which may have something to do with the empty room I'm recording in. I'm in the middle of moving right now, so there's nothing but a desk.
On its skin for it to hose again.
I should make you record in your blanket fort again, because then at least sound quality would be consistent. But I'm not going to make you do that this show.
I know I sound like I'm coming out of the hole in the ground from Silence of the Lambs, and I apologize for that. But anyways,
it's the hose, my sister gets the hose. Yes, he does.
I'm joined this week by...
Andrew, the hose, robot.
I'm bleeding, Mike Dodd. I'm sorry. You can guess where this topic's going to start at some point, but what are we talking about this week, Dave?
Well, our eventual topic is going to be, I want us to talk about TV versus movies in the modern era, and basically has TV sort of eclipsed movies. I mean, we look back at TV from like the 50s and it was seen as like a cheap imitation of film. And to see like true art, you had to actually go to a movie theater. There wasn't even home video at the time. And now it's like, is there even any point to go to a theater? You can get it all at home. And the quality of TV programming has been like awesome. So a bit of a debate there. But before we get into that, is a little bit of a topic about some recent trailers that came out lately. Why don't you introduce that to us, Mike, since you seem so excitable about it?
Okay, so over the past few days, as you guys know, Star Wars Celebration is happening in Anaheim, California. Obviously, new Star Wars trailer, but also in ahead of the IMAX release, somehow... I don't get why this is a thing. You can see Batman versus Superman, Dawn of Justice, but the trailer was leaked on Friday morning, very, very, very early, from a, I think it was like a Puerto Rican theater, but now Warner Brothers has said, well, fuck that, and released.
Go with it.
Yeah, pretty much. They put the full thing online, kind of like how Marvel did with Age of Ultron earlier last year. And now we have our first look at Batman versus Superman. So why don't we start with the newest one? And I guess we should probably talk about Batman versus Superman, because Star Wars, I think we can all agree that looks pretty cool. But Batman versus Superman, there seems to be a bit of a divide among us.
Yeah, I wasn't super impressed by it. I almost laughed at a few parts. The beginning of the trailer is just a bunch of voices. It's sort of bouncing from one speaker to the other. And there's just some goofy sounding voices in there of like people are supposed to be angry, but it just sounds like someone imitating someone angry. And he's like, he doesn't belong with us. And it's just, it's really funny. Like, pay attention to all those little voices when you're listening to the trailer. And some of them are really goofy. And just the overall trailer overall, just bleh. I don't know. It didn't really blow me out of the water or anything.
I will say this, after I've watched the trailer three or four times now to try and get a feel for it, and I'm more excited than what I was previously, but I don't like the way DC's forming its universe around this, personally. I was actually having a conversation last night on last night as of this recording on Twitter with Steve from Steven Larson, and I said... The thing is, I want my Superman to inspire hope. I want my Superman to be able to put his arms around me, tell me it's going to be okay when things look like shit and I'm going
to
believe
it. And it not being totally gay.
Yeah, well, like, see, I want Superman to be this icon of hope, proof of what we can be if we want to. This Superman, like, they've got people fucking bowing before him. It looks like injustice. But that being said, Ben Affleck in the Batman suit does look pretty badass. Although he's essentially the Dark Knight Returns by Frank Miller.
Why is that a bad thing? That's awesome. Saying that is amazing. I don't know.
I'll agree that that's the one. The bat suit actually looked really cool. It's one thing I did like about the trailer.
I think the main reason why it's a bad thing at this point is we should lead up to that. I don't think we should start with the dark, gritty future. I want to see Batman and Superman be friends.
I think that's the problem with DC, though, is they're not leading up to anything. They're just jumping into it with everything, kind of playing catch up with Marvel.
I feel like it's going to be kind of like a reverse of how we've seen it in the comics. It's going to start out dark, and they're going to slowly become, like, friends, and, like, then, like, because Superman has to transition into that idea of hope. He has to transition into the good person that you want him to be. I think it's much more interesting if Batman and Superman start out with an antagonistic relationship. Superman's first job saving the world, he didn't do it perfectly, and he didn't do everything right, and he has to become that iconic image. He's just not suddenly the best person ever. But I love Superman, but I just think it's an interesting alternative take. That's my opinion.
I can see that. I'm still skeptical, though.
Especially if they don't bother doing that, and it is just continuously like this, then I'll agree it's stupid. But I just think it has potential at this point.
Yeah, I can see it, like, especially the way the last movie ended. A lot of people complained about him, you know, spoiler alert, which really isn't a spoiler at this point.
You had years
to see it. He snaps Zod's neck.
Yeah.
What?
A lot of people were upset about that, but for me, I think that was actually a good setup for another movie, because now Lex Luthor has a reason to exist, because people don't trust Superman. He kills people. So now there's going to be this guy who's like, hey, maybe this, you know, all-powerful being that came from the stars to our planet isn't such a good thing, and he could wipe us all out if he wants to, which is really Lex Luthor's whole mentality, that he kind of sees himself as the hero, which is what I love about Lex Luthor. So if they give us that version, and there's no Jesse Eisenberg as Lex Luthor in the trailer, unless he's one of those voices at the beginning.
He is. You can hear him.
There's one that does sound like him, so yeah, you're probably right. But otherwise, you don't really get to see him. And I'm actually looking forward to that. Like, I really like Jesse Eisenberg, and people are skeptical about that, but I think he'll do a really good job.
I'm hopeful he'll do well. Now, one of the big rumors I've heard coming out of this is that all the superpowered people, like Aquaman and Wonder Woman, are somehow going to be retconned in the Kryptonians. This is a rumor that I've heard, and if so, that's... sucks.
That's odd. I don't know. It all depends. No matter how much an idea sounds like it sucks, it all depends on execution. Even the most terrible ideas do have the potential to be good. But
I don't know. I like the idea of having the lost throne of Atlantis, and they've always been with us. And same with the gods of Themyscira and Amazonia. And maybe they're a response to Superman saying, hey, man, things ain't normal anymore. We need an Earth force to respond to this. But maybe that's the approach they're taking.
I think it's the problem of DC rushing into this instead of building their universe with, like, yeah, we got Themyscira. Yeah, we got Atlantis, blah, blah, blah. Instead, it's like, we just have Superman and Batman. How can we build everything else around that really quickly without having to explain all these other parts of our universe that Marvel had years and years and years to explain with TV and all sorts of movies leading up to the Avengers. So
See, I am totally guessing that Cyborg is going to be a result of Star Labs being trashed during the Metropolis fight, and he's a victim of the Metropolis battle. That's my guess.
I'd be okay with that.
Yeah, that'd be fine.
Yeah.
But... See, if I was DC, I would build a DC universe out of the, like, Arrow and the Flash universe, but then, like, make other shows now, and actual movies around that.
Now, I heard a really cool... I heard a really cool theory that the TV universe will just be a multiverse. Like, that eventually the movies will get to a point where... Because in DC Comics... The multiverse is, like, the biggest deal. Like, the multiverse is huge. There's Earth 2, there's Earth 3, there's, like, always crises, always everything. So I've heard it pitched by, like, a studio executive that that was just, like, Earth 2. So the TV universe still exists.
And eventually they can cross over kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly, which I think is amazing.
I hope so, because I think it'd be cool to see them kind of cross over at some point.
And you know when it's going to happen is when the movies start to really suck, or when the TV shows start to suck, they'll do that as like an injection, basically, to give it life. It's like a last ditch thing. Maybe I'm being too cynical right now, but I'm thinking like a studio exec.
I guess, but I think it'd give them something Marvel doesn't have, because Marvel doesn't have alternate universes right now. It's just Marvel.
That's true.
Yeah, that's one thing. It's kind of nice about Marvel because it keeps their universe a lot less complicated, but it is one of the... It does give DC a lot of their better storylines as well, so...
I also think it's DC's out in case they fuck it up.
Yeah.
Exactly. No. That's what I was saying. Once the movies or the TV shows start to suck, oh, it was a multiverse.
I mean, they do that in the comic books. Like, right now, they're doing Convergence, which is like the 17,000th decompiling of their multiverses.
Which I kind of like the idea behind Convergence, how it's kind of like Brainiac is us, the reader, picking the best version of each thing. So, I don't know. I guess we'll see however that kind of plays out in the end.
He better pick the 80s version of himself, because 80s Brainiac is poof.
That was the skull-looking one, right?
Yeah, man. That he was, like, cool. Super robot, and he had the, like, floating base that was, like, amazing.
That was, like, a was big version of his like... head.
Yeah, and had, like, tentacles and stuff.
Like, the version from the animated series, I think, looked like that.
Now another trailer, which this should be fairly short because surprisingly this didn't suck. I'm actually very surprised for this. Star Wars: The Force Awakens.
Yeah, honestly, I was just kind of neutral about The Force Awakens for the longest time. I just didn't care that much, and I think a lot of people felt that way. They're kind of Star Wars out. And this trailer actually made me excited about it again. A part of it kind of ignited something in my brain that was like, oh yeah, that's why I love Star Wars so much when I was a kid. Like, it had all these awesome visuals and it was exciting and it had people flying spaceships and getting into battles and stuff like that. And this movie looks like it's going to embrace that and actually maybe have characters that we give a shit about.
Whoa.
I know, it's amazing.
I will say,
Andrew, you don't seem as excited about this one though.
I don't know. It looks fine, I guess, but it still looks like J.J. Abrams Star Wars and not Star Wars Star Wars.
See, I'm glad it is J.J. Abrams because the guy knows how to handle space battles. Because it's
I agree.
Like in essence, the first two Star Trek movies were his demo reel for Star Wars. And now that he has actual X-Wings and TIE Fighters to play around with, you can actually get these smaller scale dogfights. The thing I really liked about the show is the action... fits Star Wars as we've now come to expect it. Stuff out of the prequel, stuff out of the video games, stuff out of the role-playing games and the expanded universe. This is the stuff they wanted to do, but couldn't. Now we can. The fact that we have the Falcon flying through the superstructure of a Star Destroyer, I've actually done something similar to that in the Star Wars role-playing game. That's really cool. The fact that it feels epic in scale... could be really, really awesome, and they show Finn the stormtrooper a little bit more, showing that scavenger chick whose name I can't remember off the top of my head, and just I don't know, I get a wider scope of the universe and looking at it, some of the stuff that's coming out of Celebration, how we find out this planet is not Tatooine, it's a place called Jakku. And it's supposed to be a very, very big scene from the movie. Supposedly, even Star Wars Battlefront ties into this as well, sort of explaining what the hell's going on. I don't know. I'm pretty optimistic about this. In fact, I've had a lot of people say they teared up when they said it. In fact, Scotty actually texted me about this, saying, man, that looked amazing. And I've watched the trailer three or four different times now. And I got to say, I'm more excited for it than what I was previously.
Yeah.
And I really want this to be successful, and I really, really think this might be the Star Wars movie we want the prequels to be.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. See, I guess I come from the standpoint of I've always liked the prequels, and I will defend the prequels until my dying day. And I just – the one thing I haven't seen much from this Star Wars so far is any aliens. Like, we have not seen any new aliens, and like – Star Wars is interesting because of all the tertiary weird alien characters. So I just hope they have some good designs for that, because we haven't really seen much, if any, aside from like one production still from J.J. Abrams like a while ago.
Yeah, you're That's right. We haven't seen anything.
No, I haven't thought about it. Obviously, the main focus is going to be on the human characters, but it's always fun to have those weird alien characters. I think, though, it's possible they're trying to avoid having another Jar Jar Binks kind of situation, trying to avoid, like, freaking people out. Like, it's possible they could have a trailer with an alien character. Like, there might even be one in the movie, but if they put the character in the trailer, all the fans are going to be like, oh, no, it's going to be the new Jar Jar. So from a marketing standpoint, they're just avoiding, like, showing him. There's, like, alien shame now.
It's so. I don't even hate Jar Jar Binks. Anyway, sorry.
Me neither. I don't think Jar Jar is that bad, or at least he's not the worst thing about the prequels.
We really need to do like a prequel episode, just so I can defend them.
Later on this year, there will be a Star Wars episode.
Yeah, to go along with the new movie.
Which I'm actually trying to think, because I don't think we've done a Twig Topic show on Star Wars since year one or two, so at least 50 or 60 episodes. So yeah, we'll have to talk about it, but we've been talking about this for almost 20 minutes here, guys. We got to get into our main topic.
Yeah,
and that
just, you beat me to the punch.
I did, and I'm going to continue to do so. So yeah, as Dave and I were discussing this a few weeks ago, we wanted to kind of bring this up, because now that The Walking Dead's over, Better Call Saul's over, we just came back with Game of Thrones and Mad Men, we're talking about TV, but we're also coming into the big summer movie season as well, and we're at this really interesting point in time with television and movies where they're kind of on the same footing, and that's something I honestly never thought I'd see.
And I thought it was interesting that you mentioned the summer movie thing. Excuse me, because you go back like even a decade and TV studios or whatever you want to call them were afraid to release any major shows even close to the summer because they knew they'd be competing with all the big movies that come out. So they always came out in the fall and spring. Now they're not so shy about it. Like Game of Thrones goes right into the summer months and a bunch of other shows as well. And not just like crappy throwaway shows, like there are shows that come back year after year that are playing during the summer. So they're kind of getting braver and braver with it.
Yeah, no, it's true. TV shows have definitely become like a major selling point for staying home and not going to the theaters. I don't think the difference between them in quality is really that drastic. I think it's just that things like Netflix have made it so that you can have movies and like TV shows on hand at equal amounts. Like, it's not one thing where you have to, like, oh, I can I have to stay home and watch this television show or else I'll never see it again. Or I have to go see this movie because I don't know when it's coming out on DVD again. Like, now it's just like, here is every episode of Daredevil. Oh, and we have all the other Marvel cinematic movies on here. You're welcome. Hashtag Netflix. And it's just like, you can choose which one you want to do. And they are both to such a consistent quality where it's like, you can have really great TV shows and really great movies, and you can watch them in the same night. So it's more of, I think, that theaters aren't as important than it is that the quality is that different, at least in my opinion. Because I think even the 90s always had really good television shows, like when you think about Twin Peaks, X-Files, all of that stuff.
I think a lot of 90s shows, like the really good ones, got kind of buried, or they were like kind of cult shows. Whereas now the ratings don't seem to matter as much.
Yeah, because
I think Twin Peaks, if it was around now, would not have been canceled. Like, it would have been on HBO or something. Well, and it might have kept going.
Yeah, I guess. But like, when you look at actual numbers for how many people are viewing, I guess it might just be piracy. But like, the actual viewership for cable and television shows, if you're not AMC or HBO, you're not getting that many views.
Like the USA Network?
Yeah. Like, when you think about what people think of as good TV, it's really close to just being AMC and HBO. Like, there are good...
And occasionally Showtime.
Yeah, occasionally Showtime, or, there'll be a sitcom or something people like. But it may have just be, a factor that, specialized networks have gotten really good, not TV overall. Because, believe me, we had Whitney on for, 3 seasons? And that show is, the worst.
How the hell that show survived that long baffles me. There are certain TV shows, I wonder why they got canceled, because they have really strong star power. Yet, I think if they were on another network, they may have survived, but because they didn't make their marketing money back. In fact, one show, I was actually really surprised it got canceled. I'm likely alone in thinking this, but there was a show that was on ABC this fall, and I'm surprised it died as quickly as it did, was a show called Selfie.
Oh, how did I know you were going to say Selfie? I had it in my brain, was like, Mike's going to say Selfie.
Because, you know what? That had a really good cast. I think the thing that doomed that was the title. Now, if that show had been on, say, Hulu, which the final episodes were finally shown on there, along with another show called Red Band Society, I think if it had stayed to one of the streaming services, I think it might have done really well. But the fact that it had ABC marketing money behind it, had fairly recognizable names with John Cho and Karen Gillian, I'm really surprised it failed. I think it was the name that sunk it. And yet,
there could have been a number of things.
Yeah.
But I think Red Band Society, Selfie for me was okay. I thought it was entertaining. But Red Band Society, I love that show, and I'm not alone. It got really good reviews. If you go to the Rotten Tomatoes page for it, it's an 80, 90-something percent, and it just didn't – and again, it had decent star power, and it just didn't pull in the numbers. So it's disappointing that stuff like that is still getting canceled, and it kind of makes me wonder if the big four or big three or big four, ABC, NBC,
CBS.
Fox, CBS, if they're kind of behind on the times, these cable networks have a better idea of how to run things, because their shows are getting canceled and they're getting more and more and more popular because people seem to be turning there, knowing that there's a sense of security. If I start watching this show and I really like it, it's probably not going to get canceled after one or two seasons.
That's true.
But not everything that comes out of the higher kind of cable networks is a success either. I can think of two examples
where they
tried to push things and just never took. There was a show on AMC during the last half of Breaking Bad called Low Winter Sun. It had a really good cast in it.
Yeah.
And it went fucking nowhere. It had Mark Strong in it and just they kept pushing it. They also tried to push this other show called Small Town Security, and I think it was another show called Freaks or about sideshow people or something.
Oh, yeah.
And it never went anywhere.
Because AMC was going to do this thing, like, kind of built around Comic Book Men, where they had, like, a whole night where it was all reality TV. And all the other shows that aren't Comic Book Men ended up getting canceled.
Yeah, that's true.
And even Comic Book Men had its time sliced in half.
Oh, that's true. Because, I forgot that.
Yeah, because it went from being an hour program to being a half hour. And I think that show has suffered for being sliced like that. And that's another thing, too. Even that show, I wonder if that will come back next year. Because this season, I'm not afraid to say it, this season sucked.
I didn't even bother watching. I stopped watching it. Like,
I sort of watched it out of a sense of obligation. It's almost like when you have like one apple left in the fridge and you don't really want to eat it, but it's like there's only one left, so I might as well. That was basically why I watched the last season of Comic Book Men. I was like, there's only a few episodes left, so I might as well. But if it comes back next year, I don't even know if I can do it.
I feel like one of the biggest reasons why like shows on HBO and AMC are doing so well is because there's such like an internet nerd following. Like, it's okay to be geeky about TV, like, more than anything, I would say. Like, if someone comes in the room and knows everything about Game of Thrones, or if somebody knows all the characters in Walking Dead, like, that's okay now. Like, it's not as looked down upon in society as, say, it may have been, like, in the early 80s and 90s to, like, really be into, like, a nerd show. And because, like, shows like that are rife with speculation, people are always talking about it, people are always like saying their favorite parts, their favorite characters, and it's just okay to be a geek. So it's okay to put a lot of money in shows like this because people will watch it and won't be afraid to recommend it.
Yeah, because there's this culture that, as you said, has come up around it. It's become appointment viewing, and even other networks are cognizant of this, because you'll have people like, I remember reading this on Twitter or maybe it was on Facebook somewhere, but I remember hearing a conversation that the Oscars, like, man, we're competing against The Walking Dead tonight. Shit.
Yeah. Or no, like, that'd be horrible.
Yeah, that wouldn't have even been a thought for them a few years ago.
And there's even been other things too, like one of the things I enjoy is WrestleMania, which is, you know, the WWE. And their WrestleMania, their big event, took place on the same night as The Walking Dead season finale. Guess which one I watched first?
Oh, yeah.
And that kind of says something, too. The fact that a cable network, one that you have to specially order, has that much power over sports entertainment, has that much power over regular networks. That's the power of it. And the fact that, Andrew, you once again, you kind of hit it on the head that now it's acceptable. I mean, before, sure, you might have people watching stuff like, say, Beverly Hills 90210 or ER or whatnot, basically dramas. It was okay to geek out on that shit and it was considered accepted. But now we have shows that are dealing with the fantastic or, you know, just fantasy. They've become so part of the popular culture that it's fine to watch them. No longer is it just shit like The X-Files or Twin Peaks or trying to think of other shows that really took a – maybe even Battlestar Galactica to think of a more –
Firefly?
Firefly. Think of a more contemporary example. People just accept it. Like, yeah, that's what we watch now. And the thing is – I'm more excited for television than I am for movies now. And I never thought I'd say that, because I really want to see Marvel's Age of Ultron when that comes out in just about 2 weeks here. But if I had to say, okay, Mike, you have to wait another 2 months for Age of Ultron, but here's two more months of Walking Dead, the choice is pretty clear. I'm going to go with The Walking Dead.
See, I like now that, like, when you mentioned Marvel's Age of Ultron, now I'm almost more excited to watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. after Age of Ultron.
Just like, see how it shapes?
Yeah, because that's what happened after Winter Soldier. Like, how cool is it now that, like, TV and movies can be – are on such the same level, at least in the Marvel perspective, that they will tie into each other? Like, that's really almost unheard of.
I really hope that Marvel isn't like the stopping point for that too. Like if Disney is smart with the Star Wars property, they can do the same thing with Star Wars TV shows tying into the Star Wars movies.
For sure. Honestly, in that regard, I think that once Force Awakens does come out, there are things in Star Wars Rebels that I think are actually like hints to things that are happening in Force Awakens. So, like, I think they are, like, just building a universe and rebuilding a universe almost in terms of Star Wars. And they're using TV as one of the, like, the avenues. And that's, like, really crazy cool because, like, when the X-Files movie came out, did the next episode of X-Files, like, directly reference it?
Kind of, yes and no.
But was it overt about it? That was the thing.
I'm trying to remember, kind of yes and no, because they do reference the black oil. They do talk about what happened in Antarctica. But after the two episodes preceding that, yeah, it's almost never talked about until the end of the sixth season. So, yeah.
I honestly thought the X-Files movie came out after the show.
No, how the X-Files movie worked is season 5 ended with it leading into the movie where the X-Files had been closed. And then the movie picks up during season 6 after Fight the Future had come out. Now, the movie, I want to believe, is a standalone which takes place after the series in terms of continuity.
Yes, it's interesting. Now, like, think of that in the realms of Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. The entire season is all about Hydra. Everything after Winter Soldier is all about Hydra. It's all about those movies.
Like, now, they've already said that what's happening in the back half of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. right now is going to lead into Age of Ultron, but it's also going to lead into a new Marvel spin-off show that will affect the cinematic universe as well. Cool. And like I said, that's interesting to see that the fact that these things are all spinning a larger narrative, and I think a lot of television shows and movies could take notice of this, but not everybody needs to emulate this. Most notably, like we talked about earlier with DC, and I guess now their multiverse, so to speak. I think their multiverse is going to be more successful than their shared universe, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I agree.
But I guess we'll just kind of have to wait and see. Now, I would like to see movies. I don't know. When I think of shows like Breaking Bad, I think how much that changed television. Can you think of any movies in the last couple of years that really changed the way you looked at movies, the way Breaking Bad changed the way we looked at dramas on television?
I wouldn't say anything mainstream. Like, I guess, like, you could almost say Gravity was a pretty big, like, example of using the medium to its, like, full potential. But, like, it's everything, like, that are, like, really, really crazy in the movie universe is like nothing like is in indie movies, like at least from my perspective. Like, I haven't seen like a general audience movie that has like changed the game in the vein of Breaking Bad. I don't know, what's your opinion, Dave?
I'm trying to think the same thing, although I'm not as disappointed with the last few years' movies as a lot of people have been. I know there's a lot of cynicism with there being no original ideas anymore and everything's a sequel or a remake. There is a lot of sequels or remakes, but there's still a lot of great, good original ideas out there as well.
Oh, yeah.
Last year was like one of my favorite years for movies. Like, there's a bunch of good like summer blockbusters, and then a bunch of good like kind of Oscar bait movies and then movies that flew under the radar. Like, it was just a good year overall for film. And yet it was the lowest grossing year by Hollywood standards since like 1995 or something like that.
Wow.
So, and I think a big part of it was a bunch of stuff like Avengers and like really, really big movies like that and Star Wars and whatnot getting delayed for another year.
Yeah.
And it affected their box office revenue, but I wasn't disappointed in 2014 at all.
I think that the big difference is you pay to see a movie, and if it's bad, you had money riding on its quality, so you're more likely to actually be like angry. And it's almost always longer than a TV show, where like if you're, because there's a lot of crap on TV, as I mentioned before, it's just if you're scrolling through TV, something sucks, you change the channel. You are paying for cable as a whole, but you don't completely get angry that you paid for cable just because of one bad show. So,
yeah, like, or if you're trying out a new series, you might do like two or three episodes, and if it's not your thing, then you just stop watching it. There's no obligation to watch like all 13 unless you were dumb and like bought the Blu-ray set before you even checked it out.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like in that regard, I think that might be the reason why people get more angry and are more vocal about crappy movies. Whereas TV shows, like, they don't give bad TV shows that much attention unless it's like super bad and is like really fun to watch bad. You know what I mean? Like, I can't recall like the last like really crappy TV show that had like a huge huge like rant culture built around it, whereas bad movies seem to
Honey Boo Boo
sort of anger. I guess you're that's right. No, I think you're right there.
Anything reality based? Because I think the last big TV debacle I could think of was there was a show called Swingers and it got canceled after two episodes, and it was I think it was by A&E. And it took at the lives of couples that swing. For those of you that don't know, swinging is where basically you and your significant other share partners with another group of people. And there's rules how you can't hook up without telling the other person. There's to be no money involved. And it's supposed to be this very liberating lifestyle with polyamory. And turns out a lot of people are like, that's fucked up. And we're going to make fun of this. We're not going to watch it, but we're totally going to make fun of it. And it collapsed. I can think of other shows, maybe like there was a show Blair and I used to watch called Breaking Amish or some shit like that. And it was weird. It was about all these Amish kids going to live in New York and how some of them would turn out. They'd be like, all right, you know what? I've had just about enough of this, and then go home. Other ones would be like, man, fuck this shit. They'd throw away their Amish clothes and would just become regular people in our society. There was another one, I can't remember, where they escaped. Hold on a second. Let me ask Blair. Blair, what was the name of that show where they talk about the Crick or whatever the fuck it was called?
Oh, I don't remember, but they were escaping the FLDS.
Yeah, it was about these kids that would escape the FLDS, which is like this really fucked up church in Utah or something. I can't remember. Like the preacher Warren Jeffs.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember there being a lot of people talking about that. And I remember it being fascinating TV. Not good TV by any stretch of the imagination, but fascinating.
But like watching a train wreck.
Yeah, basically.
You can't turn away.
Because you're like, huh.
I know there was one of those weird AMC reality shows that got canceled. I think it was about like taxidermy, and I think just like all the people from PETA and all these animal rights kind of things went after it and it ended up getting canceled.
Can somebody please do that for Swamp People? Because every time I see that show, I'm like, go Gator, eat him, Gator, get that stupid guy. Oh, they killed another alligator. I'm so sad.
You know, it's funny, the same company...
Or Duck Dynasty, but it's kind of hard for a duck to kill a human being.
I hope that, like,
Not impossible,
Dynasty,
Dave.
Like, I really hope that, like, all of a sudden, like, Duck Hunt from Super Smash Brothers just shows up and beats the shit out of all the family.
I also seem to remember there being a big TV culture for at least a couple of years around those
blank wars. It'd be like shipping wars, storage wars.
Oh, yeah.
This kind of proves
that TV is capable of being just as dumb as movies and just as formulaic. Everything is either American something. Like, it started with American Pickers, but now it's American whatever or American whatever toys. Wars. Which is why the ultimate reality show would be called American Wars. It's got both.
I can't.
And it's just people fighting to see who's the most American.
I can't wait till they eventually get to American outhouses, and it's like reality shows about guys who want to clean outhouses for a living.
It's gonna happen. Like, they're just turning. Like, what's gonna happen is just every job is gonna have cameras with it, and it'll just be like, "Want to watch whatever job? Here you go. Here's a live feed to your local garbage man."
Well, it's kind of fascinating how certain television shows have become popular and have stayed with it. Like, I'm surprised how many cooking shows there are competitions, and some of them are genuinely entertaining. There's one. I like to watch called Chopped. There's another one. It's hosted by Alton Brown. I'm trying to remember what the fuck it's called.
Like Cutthroat Kitchen?
That's it. Cutthroat Kitchen. That's fascinating.
That's pretty entertaining, actually.
Or there's Master Chef Junior or Master Chef Canada or whatever. And some of those are legitimately all right. But then they have other weird ones. Oh, sorry, Dave. Go ahead.
I was going to say, those shows to me are called treadmill shows, because it's like when I'm on the treadmill at the gym, I want something I'm not going to get invested in. So I put on like the Cooking Network or A&E or something, and it's just like, you know, whatever, Wars or Chopped or something like that. And it's like, oh, this is entertaining for 20, 30 minutes.
I don't know. With Blair, I've really come to appreciate some of these cooking shows, but there's other ones where I question how long our culture is going to be around for. And there's this one she watches, and I used to like it until I realized I'm a horrible person for liking it. It's a show called Dance Moms.
Oh, no. Why do you like it, Dan? Why do I like it?
Because I see how horrible children's parents can be to each other. And
okay, good.
It's weird watching these kids just kind of put up with it. Because, you know, like, sometimes you can look in those kids' eyes and they're thinking, oh, my God, why did you say that, Mom? Or you just see this is raising a future sociopath.
Yeah, I was going to say, not only are the kids putting up with it, but their futures are being shaped by it. That's the scary part.
Yeah, and they just take it. It's kind of fascinating in that regard. Like, I don't understand where it's going to go, ultimately, when all is said and done. But yeah, there are just certain shows on that. Or I'll see these Real Housewives of Atlanta, Boston, or whatever. Now, actually, I actually got into it with one of these housewives from Beverly Hills.
Wait,
on Twitter.
What?
Yeah.
On Twitter. I really wish you ran into them on
in
the street.
Real life?
Yeah.
And you're like, you know what?
Fuck you, lady. No. It was one of the Real Housewives of Rock and Roll. And I was watching it because it was on at like 3 o'clock in the morning with Blair. We're trying to go to sleep and I'm Twittering about it. And one of them replied to me. I'm thinking, what the fuck? And I'm like, wow, lady, I don't know the people that you hang around with, but some people need some boots to the fucking head. You need to take them beyond Thunderdome. And, and for like,
who run Real Housewives?
And for like 3 months, whenever she'd reply to me, I'd always ask her, have you gone beyond Thunderdome? And this was before I knew what Thunderdome was. And she would reply to me. It was kind of fascinating that she would do that. But it's weird how we make reality stars out of the most insipid thing. Like, there's one show that was filmed around me for MTV. So I should tell you about the quality right there. What the hell? I'm trying to remember. Hold on. Blair, what was that show with those stupid fucking kids?
MTV Creeps?
No, the other one. Oh, yeah.
What was that stupid show? The one you were on?
So there's...
That's honestly, that's what I thought you were talking about, too. I was like, Creeps? Were you on it?
That show is also fucking stupid, but there's this other one filmed around me where it was Jackass with the budget on a cheese string. Not even a shoestring budget, but a cheese string budget. And it literally...
They involve little kids, and cheese string makes sense.
So there are these stupid kids, and I remember one of them stapled their nuts to a board or something. And my wife taught this kid. I remember thinking, Jesus fucking...
You're such a good teacher, Blair.
I'm thinking, Jesus fucking Christ. And it's weird. We used to go to the movies to see Jackass, and I think the last one was out in 2009, maybe 2010, I want to say, Jackass 3D. So either way, it's been 5 years... Yeah, or if you count Bad Grandpa, but it's been a while since I've seen the kind of Jackass crew, and I think we've evolved past that. Yet, we get shows like this, and I'm waiting for the Cake Boss movie or Pawn Stars the movie. Because
You'll have to barter for your ticket.
Because think about it, we already did have a crossover like that, because if you really want to get specific, think about the Steve Irwin movie. The Crocodile Hunter, that technically was a long
collision course.
That's insane. You know what? No one ever talks about that movie, but that is exactly that. But, like, what would you do? Put the Pawn Stars in a negotiation with the Nile Crocodile? Like, let's go into Africa and barter with the natives.
I don't know. Maybe they go to the Louvre and try and negotiate for the Mona Lisa or something.
I was going to say, you know what it has to involve is time travel. They buy a time machine at their store, and then they use it to go back in time and, like, barter with people in ancient Greece for actual old artifacts and then bring them back to the present and sell them.
Oh, no, Chumley, you changed all of history. Now you're the pharaoh.
You're welcome, Hollywood. That's a free one.
There you go. I just wrote the Pawn Stars movie.
That would be so terrible.
Now we just need to write the Storage Wars movie and our lives will be complete.
I guess, what do we have for kind of closing thoughts here on this one?
I guess, yeah, like Andrew said, TV and movies are kind of closing in on each other and kind of equalizing. And something I didn't really get to bring up earlier is you're seeing, like, really big directors or even, like, really cool indie directors like Rian Johnson, who directed movies like Looper and The Brothers Bloom, directed, like, two or three of the best episodes of Breaking Bad. And you had, like, Martin Scorsese is getting into TV, and all these awesome directors are actually getting more into TV shows. So it's kind of they're kind of equalizing with each other in terms of, like, movies are becoming more commercialized to compete with TV, and TV's becoming, like, taking itself more seriously to compete with movies. So it's kind of a cool period to be living through, I think.
Yeah, I'd be inclined to agree. Like, I'm waiting for movies to have their Breaking Bad, and I guess Marvel might be the closest thing we're getting in terms of it's must-see. People will cross oceans, and we have that with Star Wars. But with television, it's getting consistently better, and it honestly blows my mind to have shows with the quality of The Walking Dead, despite it being up and down sometimes, fantasy books being adapted on a television budget for, like, Game of Thrones gets me hope maybe we'll see a Dragon Riders of Pern at some point. And seeing television actors being treated amazingly, like Bryan Cranston from Malcolm in the Middle to being this hugely sought-after actor. That's
or vice versa, like big movie stars saying, yeah, I'm going to do a TV show now, like my True Detective and stuff. Like, like that was a pipe dream 10, 15 years ago. And now you've got, like, Oscar winners who are like, man, yeah, I totally want to do a HBO drama or a Netflix original series or whatever.
Andrew?
Yeah, I agree. I think it's really interesting time to be involved in both film and TV, just because I kind of want to see where it ends. Like, what will be the point of it's just this is how it is now? Yeah, because, like, it seems right now they're both rising in quality, or, like, some are, like, dropping off, and it just, I wonder if, like, it'll eventually be, like, everyone's at TV, and, like, some people are at movies, or if it'll eventually, like, or if there's going to be a curve, like, everyone's going to be involved in TV, and then TV's going to get oversaturated and go back to where it used to be. Who knows? I'm just kind of interested to sit along and enjoy the ride.
Yeah. So anyway, guys, I guess next time on Movie Madness, I think we're going to kind of talk about the comedies of the 80s and 90s and kind of compare them to what we see now. I mean, could you get away with Can't Porky's? Hardly Wait or Porky's compared to, say, Superbad and Let's Be Cops, for just two examples I just pulled right out of my ass, or Police Academy versus 21 Jump Street. So, who's to say? So, anyway, guys, for Movie Madness, I've been Mike the Birdman Dodd.
Andrew, get in a basket. Roebuck.
And David, speaking out of the tunnel of madness, Dennis. And that has been Movie Madness for this week. Catch you later.
Wanna see me make bubbles with my spit?
Sure do. In fact, that's the theme of our next show. So don't make it.
What the hell happened to George Lucas?
Oh my god, there's snot on my face! And I'm your host, Mike the Birdman Dub, and I'm not a join. Not a join. What the f does that mean? F that. 10 seconds.
No, you gotta keep that.
Let's do this. Let's do this right the first time.
F you guys. Ew, it's in my mouth. Oh, God.
Oh, what's it taste like, Mike?
Water. Ew, salty.
Let's start this episode with shat.
Okay, I'm good. Geico.
Holy shit. Oh my gosh, freak! Die! Holy crap! Whoa! Whoa, my god, whoa! Where did it go?
I'm like a stupid monkey.
As you can imagine, they don't let us out much.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Tune in next week to hear, somebody random. I don't know. Maybe even a hot chick. Yeah, let's go with that.
Did anyone ever tell you that you were very, very sexy?
How are you? Actually, no.
They never will.
Check out our website, thisweekingeek.net, for more geek content, as well as subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment on this episode, head to this episode post on thisweekingeek.net and comment through Facebook Connect. Or you can call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202. Send us a Twitter message by @replying to @ThisWeekInGeek. Lastly, you can email us at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. This extra music was produced by Prono Bozo at PronoBozo.com. We'll see you next time, and remember,
lower your shields and surrender your listenership.